ओम खिलखिमिरंदस्य जनजनसलकया चक्षुसमृतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्तुतितं येन भूतले स्वयं लोकतदमयं ददति स्वपदाम्बिकाम्। वन्दितकौपदुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितरं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। Maharaj Ambarish was a powerful ruler, great devotee. He turned deserts into lush lands, and yet all his personal endeavor was centered around the pleasure of Krishna. Although he was the possessor, the ruler of a kingdom, still he didn't at all think himself the enjoyer of that kingdom. Text 26. The king of this planet, Maharaj Ambarish, thus performed devotional service to the Lord, and in this endeavor practiced severe austerities. Always satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his constitutional activities, he gradually gave up all material desires. So it appears from this verse that Maharaj Ambarish was a sadhaka, that he gave up his material desires, which implies that at one time he had material desires. But how did he give them up? By making the great attempt to satisfy Krishna by his activities, his swadharma, constitutional activities, by his duty, his occupational duty. Everything was done. Anyata pravatabhutanam yena savamidam dittam, for Krishna's pleasure. And he became purified. Prabhupada's purport. And also it mentioned in here that he performed severe austerities. Now Prabhupada's going to mostly comment on that. Severe austerities in the practice of devotional service are of many varieties. For example, in worshipping the deity in the temple, there are certain laborious activities. Sri Vigrahara Dhana Nityanana Shingara Tanman Dhirama Janaro. One must decorate the deity, cleanse the temple, bring water from the Ganges and Jamuna, continue the routine work, perform arati many times, prepare first-class food for the deity, prepare dresses and so on. In this way, one must constantly be engaged in various activities. And the hard labor involved is certainly an austerity. So when we think of hard austerities, that isn't usually what we think of. Worshipping the deity, or cooking for the deity, or cleansing the temple. Because austerities brings to mind the picture of someone who is famished, not eating, not sleeping, standing on one leg or something like that. But yet, these are austerities, but devotional austerities. Devotional austerities are activities where one gives up his own sense of being the center and acts for the pleasure of Krishna. And where these particular activities become difficult and austere is when one has to do them every day. What is the austerity of that? The austerity is the mind won't feel like doing it. And austerity is basically meant to train us to neglect the mind for a higher purpose. To neglect the mind, whatever the mind is saying, say, well, the austerities even that Hiranyakashipu was performing. There were austerities because they were difficult, physically difficult to perform, but physically difficult things take mental strength. So austerities are meant to develop the mental strength. So similarly, when we are worshipping the deity, dressing the deity, etc., doing any service, to do it over a long period of time is the austerity, and one must develop mental strength to do it and offer it to Krishna. Prabhupada continues. Similarly, speaking more about devotional austerities, similarly, the hard labor involved in preaching, preparing literature, preaching to atheistic men and distributing literature door to door is of course an austerity, tapoyuktena. So that is austere, because sometimes when one knocks on the door of another or tries to ask someone for a book, again, the person may be very happy with you. Oh, this is what I've always been looking for. Or someone else may think this is the worst thing he's ever seen and may curse you and scream at you. And other people may be innocent. And regardless of what the reaction is to the activity, to continue doing it not to get a specific reaction, but for the pleasure of Krishna, that is the austerity. So, what about austerity? Is it good? Recommended? Yes. Tapo divyam putraka. Such austerity is necessary. Yena sattvam shudhed. By such austerity and devotional service, one is purified of material existence. Kaman shanar jahao. Indeed, such austerity leads one to the constitutional position of devotional service. In this way, one can give up material desires, and as soon as one is freed from material desires, he is freed from the reception of birth, death, old age, and disease. This is our conditioning. The material desires are our conditioning, and they are stored in the mind. And one is actually forced to take those desires with him when he transmigrates from one body to another. They are stored in the subtle body, in the mind. And this is actually what carries us to our next body. So therefore, those who are wise, be very careful about their desiring. Desiring, as it's saying, every desire is a prayer. Or as Prabhupada also said, desire is a subtle form of conditioning, of controlling us, of those things that control us. And certainly, what we're desiring, adishtaya manastrayam, it will carry us, visha upasevate, to our next body. This is the words of the Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vappi smarambhavam tyajanyante kalevram. Whatever one is thinking of at the time when he's leaving this world, it will carry him to his next body, Saritat Bhava Bharata, always. So the practice of austerity is meant to give us the strength and to fix our minds on Krishna. Sometimes we don't feel like fixing our minds on Krishna. Sometimes we're chanting and it is very wonderful. Sometimes we're chanting and it is dry. This actually doesn't have to do with the holy name, but it has to do with just our conditioning. But to continue, regardless of the externals, of the results, strengthens the mind and purifies the heart. So that is what Prabhupada chose to say about this verse about Maharaj Ambarish and his purity. Text 27. Maharaj Ambarish gave up all attachments to household affairs, wives, children, friends and relatives, to the best of powerful elephants, to beautiful chariots, carts, horses, and inexhaustible jewels, and to ornaments, garments, and an inexhaustible treasury. He gave up attachment to all of them, regarding them as temporary and material. So why become attached to something that we're destined to lose? Destined, sure and certain to lose. This is the nature of temporary things. Our relationship with them is only temporary. While on the other hand, our relationship with Krishna is eternal. So to trade the temporary for the eternal is the mood in which one a devotee accepts detachment. Prabhupada's purport. Anashaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha. Material possessions can be accepted as far as they can be used in Krishna's service. Anukulena Krishna anushilanam. Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam. In preaching, many things considered material are needed. A devotee should not have any attachment for such material involvements as house, wife, children, friends, and cars. Maharaj Ambarish, for example, had all such things, but he was not attached to them. So the attachment and the possession in Krishna's service are quite different. So yogis and renunciants, not wishing to become attached to anything in the material world, live with no material possessions. But in the material world, one really can't become fully detached by that method. What, after all, what can one give up? One can't give up breathing. One can't give up eating completely. To live in a completely detached way, one can't give up thinking. How can one be fully detached or renounced in the material world? And what to speak of these things aren't even ours to renounce. So on the other hand, the devotees take up a spirit of detachment, of neutrality in relationship to the material world, and also themselves, whatever abilities and talents they have, the material body. They try to use those things in Krishna's service, but with detachment. That's the meaning of the verse, anashaktasya, without attachment, vishayan, yatartan upayunjata. But of course one can't make believe one is detached and really be attached and expect that to work the same as true detachment. So Maharaj Ambarish, for example, had all such things, but he was not attached to them. This is the effect of bhakti yoga. Due to a higher attachment, paramjastvanavartate, the lower attachments are in their proper perspective, or the lower items in their proper perspective. One who is advanced in devotional service has no attachment for material things for sense enjoyment, but for preaching to spread the glories of the Lord, he accepts such things without attachment. Anashaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha. Everything can be used to the extent that it can be engaged in Krishna's service. After all, everything belongs to Krishna, and therefore when Krishna gives us something, it should be used very carefully in his service. So Maharaj Ambarish, although the king with inexhaustible jewels, there's such a tendency to become attached to things like this. Jewels have potency. Gold has potency. I mean, naturally, want to possess these things. It's easier to be renounced from gold and jewels when you're poverty-stricken. But when we have these things, they have a pull towards us, or they pull us towards them. But Maharaj Ambarish, he was detached, although possessing them, because he didn't think of himself as the enjoyer of them, but he was possessing them in Krishna's service. So being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc, his chakra, Sudarshan chakra, which is fearful to enemies and which always protects the devotee from enemies and adversity. So how dear to the Lord was Maharaj Ambarish. He gave him his own chakra to protect him and his city. Prabhupada's purport. A devotee, being always engaged in the service of the Lord, may not be expert in self-defense. But because a devotee fully depends on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is always sure of protection by the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj said, Naidvijate naidvidije para duratyaya nataranas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magnachitta. A devotee is always merged in the ocean of the transcendental bliss of rendering service to the Lord. Therefore, he is not afraid of any adverse situation in the material world. The Lord also promises, Kanteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. O Arjuna, you may declare it to the world that the devotees of the Lord are never vanquished. For the protection of the devotees, Krishna's disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, is always ready. This disc is extremely fearful to the non-devotees, pratyanika bayavaham. Therefore, although Maharaj Ambarish was fully engaged in devotional service, his kingdom was free of all fear of adversity. So there's some interesting points in here that will come up soon. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Ekadasi and Dwadasi for 1 year. Prabhupada's purport. To observe Ekadasi Vrat and Dwadasi Vrat means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Madhavatiti Bhakati Janani. That Madhavatiti gives birth to Bhakti. What is Madhavatiti? Ekadasi. So to perform Ekadasi Vrata is very nice. And Ekadasi Vrata means to minimize one's bodily needs and to minimize one's bodily needs as much as practical. Not as much as possible, but as much as practical, because as much as possible means that we can have nothing at all. We can hold our noses and mouths and not even breathe. That's possible, but it's not very practical. So as much as practical, so we don't become weak, and being engaged as much as possible in Krishna service, as much as we possibly can, we should chant and hear. And Prabhupada once told how one of his godbrothers, Hayagriva Brahmachari, then later Madhava Maharaj, he on Ekadasi, the devotees in the Gaudiya Math used to not eat anything. That's the standard on Ekadasi. Ours is less strict, and it's more don't eat grains. But they would not eat anything, and usually not eat, drink any water. Tomorrow is Bhima Nirjali Ekadasi, so they would perform that similarly every week. Every 2 weeks, every Ekadasi. But this devotee, when he was a bit ill and he couldn't easily not take any water or food, he ate and then went out and preached. He ate to give him strength and then went and preached. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented that he actually understands the spirit of the Gaudiya Math. So Prabhupada explained that. Because the spirit is one of service to Krishna, not austerities separate from the service of Krishna. So chanting and hearing as much as possible, this is bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. This is bhakti, this is service to Krishna, because it's supposed to be done for Krishna's pleasure. Chanting to please Krishna, hearing about Krishna, so Krishna will be pleased. So in any case, to observe Ekadasi Vrata, Prabhupada explains, and Dwadasi Vrata means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why these things are done. Those interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness must observe Ekadasi Vrat regularly. Maharaj Ambarish's queen was equally as qualified as the king. So topic changes here. Therefore, it was possible for Maharaj Ambarish to engage his life in household affairs. In this regard, the word Tulya Shilaya is very significant. And thus a wife is equally as qualified as her husband. Household affairs are very difficult to continue. Chanakya Pandit advises that a person in such a situation should immediately give up household life and become a vanaprastha or sannyasi. Matyasya grihe nasti bharya bharya kapriya vadini aranyam tena gantavyam yataranyam tata griham. According to Chanakya Pandit, a person who has no mother at home and whose wife is not agreeable with him should immediately go away to the forest. Because human life is meant for spiritual advancement only, one's wife must be helpful in this endeavor. Otherwise, there is no need of household life. So they were performing Ekadasi Vrata and Dwadasi Vrata. So in the month of Kartik, this is what they did. In the month of Kartik, after observing that vow for 1 year, after observing a fast for 3 nights, and after bathing in the Jamuna, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in Madhuvan. So they were in Vrindavan. Following the regulative principles of Mahabhishek, Maharaj Ambarish performed the bathing ceremony for the deity of Lord Krishna with all paraphernalia. And then he dressed the deity with fine clothing, ornaments, fragrant flower garlands, and other paraphernalia for worship of the Lord. With attention and devotion, he worshipped Krishna and all the greatly fortunate brahmanas who are free from material desires. Thereafter, Maharaj Ambarish satisfied all the guests who arrived at his house, especially the brahmanas. He gave in charity 60 crores of cows whose horns were covered with gold plates and whose hooves were covered with silver plate. All the cows were well decorated with garments and had full milk bags. They were mild-natured, young and beautiful, and were accompanied by their calves. After giving these cows, the king first sumptuously fed all the brahmanas. This is after 1 year of his vow, his vrata. And when they were fully satisfied, he was about to observe the end of Ekadasi. That is called Ekadasi Parana, when one breaks the Ekadasi. With their permission, it was time for him to break the fast. Exactly at that time, however, Nivasa Muni, the great and powerful mystic, appeared on the scene as an uninvited guest, Atithi. He was a guest who wasn't scheduled, but he came. So this has to be handled very carefully. He was just about to break his fast. After standing up to receive Devasa Muni, King Ambarish offered him a seat and paraphernalia of worship. Then sitting at his feet, the king requested this great sage to eat. Devasa Muni gladly accepted the request of Maharaj Ambarish, but to perform the regulative ritualistic ceremonies, he went to the river Jamuna and meditated upon the impersonal Brahman. He went into the water, Dhyan, Kalindi, Shalile, Shube, very auspicious, Kalindi, or Jamuna River, and he began to meditate. In the meantime, only a muhurta of the Dwadasi day was left on which to break the fast, because it has to be broken at the proper time. Consequently, it was imperative that the fast be broken immediately, otherwise one doesn't get the proper results from his vow, from the observance. In this dangerous situation, the king consulted learned Brahmins. The king said, to transgress the law of respectful behavior towards the Brahman is certainly a great offense, because his dilemma was that he shouldn't take anything, he shouldn't eat before his guest. But yet, his guest was away bathing in the Yamuna, and he had to do something to break his fast. He had to take something to break his fast. 1 year's worth of his vow. So he had to do something very quickly, but yet his guests wouldn't be back. Now what should he do? So to be disrespectful to the brahmana by eating before him was disrespectful and offensive. And Devasa Muni also had a tendency to become very angry because he was in partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. He had part of the nature of Lord Shiva being Asutosha, which means very easily pleased, but also very easily displeased and great anger. So what should he do? So on one hand, if I disrespect this Brahmana, it is a great offense. On the other hand, if one does not observe the breaking of the fast within the time of Dwadasi, there's a flaw in one's observance of the vow. Therefore, O Brahmanas, if you think that it will be auspicious and not irreligious, I shall break the fast by drinking water. In this way, after consulting with the Brahmanas, the king reached this decision. For according to Brahminical opinion, drinking water may be accepted as eating and also as not eating. So it's eating but not eating. It's drinking water. Oh, best of the Kuru dynasty, Sukadev Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Prakrit. After he drank some water, King Ambarish, meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, waited for the return of the great mystic Durvasa Muni. So after executing the ritualistic ceremonies to be performed at noon, Durvasa returned from the bank of the Jamuna. The king received him well, offering all respect, but Durvasa Muni, by his mystic power, could understand that King Ambarish had drunk water without his permission. Still hungry, Durvasa Muni, his body trembling, his face curved and his eyebrows crooked in a frown, angrily spoke as follows to King Ambarish, who stood before him with folded hands. "Alas," Durvasa Muni said, "just see the behavior of this cruel man." He was very offended. "He is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Being proud of his material opulence and his position, he considers himself God. Just see how he has transgressed the law of religion." Maharaj Ambarish, we'll come back and read that purport. "You have invited me to eat as a guest, but instead of feeding me, you yourself have eaten first. Because of your misbehavior, I shall show you something to punish you." As Durvasa Muni said this, his face became red with anger. Uprooting a bunch of hair from his head, he created a demon resembling the blazing fire of devastation to punish Maharaj Ambarish. Prabhupada's purport to 45, we read 45, 44, 45, 46. We'll read the purports to 44 and 45. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has diverted the entire meaning of this verse as spoken by Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni used the word nrisamsasya to indicate that the king was cruel. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur interprets it to mean that the king's character was glorified by all the local people. He says that the word nri means by all the local people, and that samsasya means of he, Ambarish, whose character was glorified. Similarly, one who is very rich becomes mad because of his wealth, and therefore is called Shriya Unmatasya. But Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur interprets these words to mean that although Maharaj Ambarish was such an opulent king, he was not mad after money, for he had already surpassed the madness of material opulence. Similarly, he was mad after Krishna, actually. Similarly, the words Isha Manina is interpreted to mean that he was so respectful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he did not transgress the laws for observing Ekadasi Paran, despite the thinking of Durvasa Muni, for he only took water. In this way, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has supported Ambarish Maharaj in all his activities. So then the Muni said, "I shall punish you. I'll show you something. I'll teach you something just to punish you." Prabhupada's purport. A devotee cannot be defeated by a so-called mystic yogi. This will be proved by the failure of Devasa Muni's endeavor to chastise Maharaj Ambarish. Harav abhaktasya kuto mahadguna. One who is not a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord has no good qualifications, however great a mystic, philosopher, or fruitive worker he may be. Only a devotee emerges victorious in all circumstances, as will be shown in this incident involving the rivalry between Devasa and Maharaj Ambarish. So what will happen? This great demon has been created to chastise Maharaj Ambarish. So taking a trident in his hand and making the surface of the earth tremble with his footsteps, that blazing creature came before Maharaj Ambarish. But the king, upon seeing him, was not at all disturbed and did not even move slightly from his position. Purport. Narayana Paraksave Nakutastena Bibhyati. A pure devotee of Narayana is never afraid of any material danger. There are many examples of devotees such as Prahlad Maharaj, who was tortured by his father but was not at all afraid, although he was only a 5-year-old boy. Therefore, following the example of Maharaj Ambarish, Ambarish Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, a devotee should learn how to tolerate all such awkward positions in this world. Devotees are often tortured by non-devotees, yet the pure devotee, depending fully on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is never disturbed by such inimical activities. Text 48. As fire in the forest immediately burns to ashes an angry snake, so by the previous order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his disc, the Lord's disc, Sudarshan Chakra, immediately burnt to ashes the created demon to protect the Lord's devotee. Prabhupada's purport. As a pure devotee, and here, this purport I found very important, and I think it will be clear why. As a pure devotee, Maharaj Ambarish, although in such danger, did not move an inch from his position, nor did he request the Supreme Personality of Godhead to give him protection. He was fixed in understanding, and it was certain that he was simply thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the core of his heart. A devotee is never fearful of his death, for he meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead always, not for any material profit, but as his duty. The Lord, however, knows how to protect his devotee, as indicated by the words pragdishtam. The Lord knew everything. Therefore, before anything happened, he had already arranged for his chakra to protect Maharaj Ambarish. This protection is offered to a devotee even from the very beginning of his devotional service. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. If one simply begins devotional service, he's immediately protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Isn't that wonderful and reassuring? Not even that one has to be an exalted pure devotee, because that's often how we think. Of course, if one is an exalted pure devotee, the protection, because the dependence on Krishna is complete. Yiyatamam prapadyante. If one fully depends on Krishna and is fully surrendered to him, Krishna's commitment is greatest. But yet, as Prabhupada explains, this protection is offered to a devotee even from the very beginning of his devotional service. It's not that he neglects we who are not yet pure and surrendered. Krishna protects all those who have, even in the beginning, make their attempt to please him and to serve him. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. If one simply begins devotional service, he's immediately protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Ham Tam Sava Papebhyo Moksha Shami. Protection begins immediately. And the Lord is so kind and merciful that he gives the devotee proper guidance and all protection. And thus the devotee very peacefully makes solid progress in Krishna consciousness without outward disturbances. A serpent may be very angry and ready to bite, but the furious snake is helpless when faced by a blazing fire in the forest. Although an enemy of a devotee may be very strong, he is compared to an angry serpent before the fire of devotional service. Moksha Shami Masucha. Do not fear, do not hesitate, do not worry. I will protect you, says Krishna. So therefore the devotee relies on Krishna's protection as opposed to his own abilities and power, and therefore he is surrendered, and therefore Krishna's full commitment for protection is there. Upon seeing that his own attempt had failed, this is Devasa Muni, and that the Sudarshan Chakra was moving towards him, Devasa Muni became very frightened and began to run in all directions to save his life. Not all directions at the same time, though. One at a time. He went everywhere just trying to protect himself. As the blazing flames of a forest fire pursue a snake, the disc of the Supreme Personality of Godhead began following Devasa Muni. Devasa Muni saw that the disc was almost touching his back, and thus he ran very swiftly, desiring to enter a cave of Sumeru Mountain. Just to protect himself, Devasa Muni fled everywhere, in all directions, in the sky, on the surface of the earth, in caves, in the ocean, or on different planets, of the rulers of the three worlds, and even on the heavenly planets. But wherever he went, he immediately saw following him the unbearable fire of the Sudarshan Chakra. With a fearful heart, Devasa Muni went here and there seeking shelter. But when he could find no shelter, he finally approached Lord Brahma and said, "O my Lord, O Lord Brahma, kindly protect me from the blazing Sudarshan Chakra sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Brahma said, "At the end of the Dviparada, when the pastimes of the Lord come to an end, Lord Vishnu, by a flick of his eyebrows, vanquishes the entire universe, including our places of residence. Such personalities as me and Lord Shiva, as well as Daksha, Bhrigu, and similar great saints of which they are the head, and also the rulers of the living entities, the rulers of human society, and the rulers of the demigods, all of us surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, bowing our heads to carry out his orders for the benefit of all living entities." Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita 10:34, it is said, "Mrityu savaharas chaham." When the Supreme Personality of Godhead approaches his death, or the Supreme Controller of Time, he takes everything away. In other words, all the opulence, prestige, and everything we possess is given by the Supreme Lord for some purpose. It is the duty of the surrendered soul to execute the orders of the Supreme. No one can disregard him. Under the circumstances, Lord Brahma refused to give shelter to Devasa Muni from the powerful Sudarshan Chakra sent by the Lord. So he mentioned Brahma. Lord Brahma explained the great power of Lord Vishnu and how everyone ultimately is surrendered to him. So how could he protect the Muni from Krishna? He surrendered to Krishna's will. And he didn't have the ability. With a flick of Krishna's eyebrows, everything is finished. In other words, just by an insignificant part of his power, everything is finished. The time of annihilation. So that was no solace for Devasa Muni. Text 55. When Devasa, who was greatly afflicted by the blazing fire of the Sudarshan Chakra, was thus refused by Lord Brahma, he tried to take shelter of Lord Shiva, who always resides on his planet known as Kailash. Lord Shiva said, "My dear son, I, Lord Brahma, and the other demigods who rotate within this universe under the misconception of our greatness cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord." Purport. There are innumerable universes in the material world, and there are innumerable Lord Brahmas, Lord Shivas, and other demigods. All of them rotate within this material world under the supreme direction of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is able to compete with the strength of the Lord. Lord Shiva also refused to protect Devasa, for Lord Shiva was also under the rays of the Sudarshan Chakra sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Sudarshan Chakra is also the time factor of the Lord. So everyone is under the influence of time. Everyone will be destroyed by time. So what would Devasa Muni do? But Shiva advised him further. "Past, present, and future are known to me, Lord Shiva, Sanat Kumar, Narada, and the most revered Lord Brahma, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Apantaratmana, Lord Vyasadeva, Devala, Yamaraj, Asuri, Marichi, and many saintly persons headed by him, as well as many others who have achieved perfection." Everything is known. "Nonetheless, because we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. You should simply approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead to get relief. For this Sudarshan Chakra is intolerable even to us. Go to Lord Vishnu. He will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you." Thereafter, being disappointed even in taking shelter of Lord Shiva, Devasa Muni went to Vaikuntha Dham, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, resides with his consort, the Goddess of Fortune. Devasa Muni, the great mystic, scorched by the heat of the Sudarshan Chakra, fell at the lotus feet of Narayan. His body trembling, he spoke as follows: "O infallible, unlimited Lord, protector of the entire universe, you are the only desirable objective for all devotees. I am a great offender, my Lord. Please give me protection. O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction of this offense. You can do everything. You can do everything. For even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your lordship." So now Krishna is going to reply. And these verses in his reply are very important, and they reveal the intimacy of his relationship with his devotee. Maharaj Ambarish was a great devotee. This is what the Lord said. "The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, Devasa Muni, 'I am completely under the control of my devotees. Aham Bhakta Paradino,'" very famous verse, "'Hi Asvantantra Iva Dvija Sadubhya Grastaridayo Bhakta Bhakti Jana Priya.' I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I'm not at all independent." This is God speaking. Vishnu, Lord Narayan. "Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cores of their hearts. What to speak of my devotees? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. I'll read all these verses and then we'll read Prabhupada's purport. Continue. O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I'm the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their heart bring me under their full control. My devotees, who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service, are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, and Sharshti, although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. O Brahmana, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. And thus it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. For a Brahmana, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious. But when acquired by a person who is not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. O best of the Brahmanas, you should therefore go immediately to King Ambarish, the son of Maharaj Nabhaga. I wish you all good fortune. If you can satisfy Maharaj Ambarish, then there will be peace for you. So that's the final verse in this chapter. Now we'll read the verses in Prabhupada's purports. Aham bhakta paradino, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I'm not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cores of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. Prabhupada's purport. All the great stalwart personalities in the universe, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully under the control of his devotee. Why is this? Because the devotee is anya bilasita shunya. In other words, he has no material desires in his heart. His only desire is to think always of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to serve him best. Because of this transcendental qualification, the Supreme Lord is extremely favorable to the devotees. Indeed, not only the devotees, but also the devotees of the devotees. Srila Narottama Das Thakur says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payetshi Keva. Without being a devotee of a devotee, one cannot be released from material entanglement. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified himself as Gopi Bharta Parakamalayor Dasa Dasanodas. Thus he instructed us to become not directly servants of Krishna, but servants of the servants of Krishna. Devotees like Brahman, Narada, Vyasadeva, and Sukadeva Goswami are directly servants of Krishna. And one who becomes a servant of Narada, Vyasadeva, and Sukadeva, like the six Goswamis, is still more devoted. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur therefore says, Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. If one very sincerely serves the spiritual master, Krishna certainly becomes favorable to such a devotee. Following the instructions of a devotee is more valuable than following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Lord Vishnu says, O best of the Brahmins, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, but to enjoy His transcendental bliss, He requires the cooperation of His devotees. In Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in Himself, He wants the cooperation of His devotees like the coward boys and the gopis to increase His transcendental bliss. And actually speaking, He's completely controlled by them, as He said in the previous verse. He's completely controlled by His devotees. How interesting it is that this is in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, where we are so much information and so much inspiration and so much knowledge and instruction has been given to us. And just before the presentation of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is this great impetus spoken by the Lord Himself to become a devotee. And not think that by becoming a devotee and being anyabhilasita sunyam, taking our desires and casting them away for desiring only the pleasure of the Lord, not thinking that one will be the loser, but the inspired words of the Lord tell us that one will be the greatest gainer, because one will gain Him. One will gain Him. And this, as Prabhupada is explaining, is most powerfully exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan, who completely control Krishna. Not only such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly most dear to Him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of His devotees, but because He's unlimited, He wants to increase His devotees unlimitedly. Thus he descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto Him because, unlimited as He is, He wants to increase His devotees unlimitedly. The Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. It is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. Although the Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, He does not feel transcendental bliss without His devotees. An example that may be cited in this regard is that if a very rich man does not have sons and a family, he does not feel happiness. Indeed, sometimes a rich man adopts a son to complete his happiness. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. Very powerful purports. Very powerful verses spoken by the Lord. So we'll stop here and continue. If Krishna allows, we'll continue and complete this tomorrow. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much. From teachings of Rishabhdev Maharaj. Tapo divyam putrakayena satvam shujed brahmasokyam shujed yasmad brahmasokyam tanantam. By giving up sense gratification. What's the first word in the beginning of that? It goes svid bhujam ye. That one shouldn't take material pleasures which are available for the stool eaters. Rather, that is not what human life is meant for. Rather, what is it meant for? Tapo divyam. You perform austerities, divine austerities. Putrakayena satvam shudye. And by those austerities, purify the heart. And by purifying the heart, and through performance of austerities, then brahmasokyam tvanantam, yasmad brahmasokyam tvanantam. One will experience unending transcendental bliss. Spoken by Maharaj Shudev, Rishabdev, the first, I think it's the first verse in his instructions to his sons. Any other questions or comments?
This is the Lord gave to us in the chakra.
Yeah, that's what it seems to mean. In other words, the chakra wasn't on Maharaj Ambarish's hand, but it was protecting his kingdom. This was the gift of the Lord, his protection. No, there were indications in there. It didn't seem to indicate that. It seemed to indicate something quite different. Yeah. Ekadasi vrata is no grains. At least no grains. And increasing the spiritual. Yes, you must take grains. Huh? Don't you break Ekadasi?
Is it the
summer
when
there's no net? Dwadasi
was also very
astute. Yes. Sometimes it's said one should eat just once on the Dwadasi and things like that.
Simply regulations
important. What verse was that listed in? Explain it. Excuse me? 20? Yeah, what made me think that that he didn't fast the whole time was because it says in the month of Kartik, after observing that vow for 1 year, after observing a fast for 3 nights. So if he was fasting for 3 nights specifically, then it made me think that he wasn't fasting for the in the same way, that fast was obviously different than the Ekadasi fast.
When I had it,
yeah.
I got the impression that this following the Ekadasi Vrat and the Dwadasi Vrat very seriously for that year.
What was your understanding of that? That the Dwadasi...
He did the Vrat. The Ekadasi and whatever they know.
And then it was the Dwadasi.
Yeah, and then the next fortnight he did the Vrat again, and the next fortnight he did it again. He did that for a year.
Oh. I didn't get that impression.
Well, that's what I understood too. Because otherwise, what does it mean for a year? Could it be that those 3 days were his. No, it wouldn't be his Dwadasi because he's fasting.
Got me.
No, it says clearly, observe the vow of Ekadasi and Dwadasi for 1 year. In verse 29.
But what it's clear that it means. He clearly observed it, but what that vrat was wasn't exactly clear. So you're saying that it means that was how I heard it more, understood it more. He was observing the Ekadasi vow for 1 year, and then he was observing the Dwadasi.
He's doing Ekadasi for a whole year, every day, day after day.
Was how I heard, whatever the vow was. But otherwise, how could he fast for 3 days for a Dwadasi?
Because it's only one. Didn't eat grains for a year. Is that what you're arguing?
I can't say authoritatively, unfortunately.
That's in the Sanskrit, I
and at the end of observing the vow in the month of Kartik, for 3 nights, observing the fast after bathing on the bank of the Jamuna. Okay. Maybe someone can solve the mystery. Yes. He was angry. He had an angry disposition. Also, we heard that Chayavan, because he wasn't a devotee, Prabhupada specifically makes that clear by saying that he observed, he was meditating on the Brahman. And we also saw that with Chayavan Muni and Vashishta. They became angry, all of them became angry very easily. And we also contrast the behavior of Devata Muni, who was very fearful, with the behavior of Ambarish Maharaj as a pure devotee, who was not at all fearful. Also Prahlad, not at all fearful. I can make my attempt to find out. I can ask people who can have access to the commentaries.
Can you explain that principle that Durvasa, that he was told he acted out of self-envy?
What verse was that?
There's one more that Vishnu was giving him instruction.
Self-envy. Let's see what the Sanskrit is. Atma abhichara. Self-envy. You're envious of yourself. Your mind has become your enemy. That's, Prabhupada has that in parentheses.
The mind has become your enemy.
Yes. You have acted envious of yourself, inimically to yourself, to your own self-interest. Your mind has become your enemy. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Maharaj Ambarish ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Four bhaktivinoda.